Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
94.7 The Wave. I'm Pat Prescott. Delighted to be speaking to a longtime friend, one of the most celebrated acoustic and electric bass players in the world. All that great music with Return to Forever and with George Duke, his dear friend, and so many great records on his own. I'm talking about four-time Grammy Award winner Stanley Clark, who joins us this morning on the phone. How you doing, Stanley?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I got to tell you how much we really enjoyed seeing you at the Gardena Jazz Festival and what a great set you put on. I know with a career like yours that is packed with so much music, it's got to be hard to figure out what to do, you know, in a 1 hour time frame.
Yeah, it's always hard. It's like the guys say, well, what are you going to play? Then I'm looking at thousands of tunes and I'm going, oh, my goodness. I don't know. You know, we'll see.
Well, you are a true pioneer and still going strong. And one of the areas that you have really excelled in is as a film score composer. I was happy to hear you playing some of the music from Boys in the Hood. And I think that was the first time that I was aware of you doing film music. What was the first film that you ever did?
The first film I did was actually in television. I was doing a special, like a TV special with the singer Barry Manilow. He wanted to do some jazz things, and I was doing this thing with Phyllis Hyman on his TV special, and the director came up to me and asked me, hey, do you ever do film music? And I said, well, you know, I like James Bond, and, you know, my favorite movie was, as far as the soundtrack is concerned, was Spartacus. So he said, well, I got this show called Pee-wee's Playhouse. Can you write some music for us? And we have this one show that we talk with the kids about childbirth, and we need some music that's a little bit different than what we've had. Can you do that? And I said, well, I don't know. Send me the footage.
look deep into your mind for the inspiration for childbirth music.
Yeah, well, you're on Pee-wee's Playhouse on top of that, right? So you know, I did it, but then I got an Emmy nomination for this thing. which was I wasn't even aware of Emmys actually in those days. And so when I got that there, I had agents calling me up. Hey, you want to do films? And then so I got into it and never looked back. 76 films later and television shows. So many television shows. And so, you know,
yeah.
Sort of quietly been doing that.
Yeah, that's a whole nother part of your career. Well, I know that you have just recently released a new record, which is a soundtrack for the most recent film that you have scored. It debuted on CNN, a broadcast premiere there, but the film is called simply Halston. And those of us who were around back in that period in the 70s and 80s will well remember the fashion designer with the famous one name.
That's right, Halston. You know, my sister, that's all she wore was his stuff, you know. So it was a nice show because it was the look that we had at him was kind of, you know, this glamorous guy. He had this, he had that, had this. But behind the scene, you know, he rose and went down. It was kind of a tragedy, kind of how, you know, he lost his name, lost his company, lost this. But the moral of the story, when you watch it, it could be anybody. It could be Halston or just anyone that rises and falls. He just didn't look who was around him, you know.
Like, yeah.
I always tell young musicians that, like, try to protect yourself. You know, you have a gift and you do something that's amazing, like actually protect yourself. Spend a little time protecting yourself and be careful, like, people that are around you, especially ones that make you feel bad.
Yeah, you know, my grandfather used to always say, if you hang around with bank robbers, before you know it, you'll be driving the getaway car.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what, and that old saying, it translates in so many languages and so many, but it's really true. You know, you are, you know, the company that you keep, you know. So
yeah.
This is a great story. It's just clearly you see it. You see all the bad guys, all the good guys. It's just so clear. It's amazing.
Yeah, you know, Halston really was put on Front Street by some pretty famous people. Most notably, I think of Jacqueline Kennedy, who just wore so much of his, so many of his designs and everything. But I imagine when you approach a project like this, I guess the first thing you do is they have you watch the movie, huh?
Yeah, you know, I was a really young director. I was surprised at how like polished he was, because basically you look at a movie like that, and in many ways it's a piece that you have to study the time, because some of the score has to reflect that time period, but at the same time you have to adhere to all the, you know, traditional musical devices that you use in film scoring, you know. So, you know, I had a little bit of music from the 70s in the score, the feeling of it, and then I had like some classical music and some funky music and all, you know, and it was really, really cool. And the thing that I was really impressed was that, because I was never a big documentary watcher, you know, but this was more like a docudrama, because it plays like a film, and then they had some actors in there kind of bridging, like sort of doing scenes that bridge things together. And it was really, you know, I watched it last night, and it really, like, you know, holds up. And I think it's a good film for someone to watch that plans to get famous and make a lot of money. Watch this film.
Well, you know, I guess for you as a composer too, when you're writing music for a film, you get to just take out your whole tool bag and just use everything you've got. And that's got to be fun.
Well, yeah, that's the great thing about being a film composer, is you're able to write music that you would never put on your record, you know. I mean, it's just because, first of all, you know, I wouldn't necessarily think of it, because a lot of the music that I write for film is actually inspired by that film, by that action, by that drama, you know. So, you know, I'll see something. I can't explain why I can do it. You know, it's funny. I've had this conversation with other film composers. There's some tremendous musicians that just, you know, can't get arrested when it comes to writing film music. It's because it's something, I don't know, some people just have this ability to look at a scene, and I mean I can be walking down the street and I'll see something happen that's unusual, and I start thinking of music. I don't know why, you know. And so when I watch films, it's just very easy for me to like, well, what kind of music do you think should be there? Or I could look at something. I remember in Boys in the Hood, there's a scene in Boys in the Hood where I think Nia Long and Cuba Gooding, they have this sex scene in there, you know, and they were very young, and you could tell without the music, they were very, like, nervous, which is natural for young actors. And we put this Quincy Jones Septembro, that song, I think Take Six, we put that there. And it smoothed out all the funny movements and this and that. And it was amazing. It was like magic, because I had scored it 3-4 different times, you know. Mm-hmm. And finally, I said, well, let's try getting somebody else's music.
Yvonne Lenz, if I'm not mistaken.
Yvonne Lenz, yes. Mm-hmm. So we said, let's get that and put that in there, and we did, and it was amazing. So, you know, music is like the glue, it glues everything together, and it acts as a bridge, like in film. It's pretty magical. And where I got that ability, I don't know.
Hey, because somebody asked you. That's why.
That's right.
That's why you did.
Can you do this? Yeah, of course I can.
I guess you got it where you got all the rest of all this stuff you got, being able to do the things you do with your instrument and the great music that you've written, too. On another topic, I got to just talk to you a little bit about our good buddy, George Duke. And part of your show right now is a beautiful tribute to George, which explores not only the things that you all did together, but things that he did that just meant so much to us. And, you know, it's still hard to believe that someone so full of life and love is not really with us physically anymore.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Like, George was one of these, the only word I can come up with is he had a real invincible type of personality. You just, you know, like those kind of people you just never think will not be there. And in actual fact, since his passing, I've actually discovered that he really isn't away. He's, you know, the body's one thing, but, mm-hmm. you know, I feel George pretty much every single day. We were really close. He was like a big brother to me. And, you know, when I go play, I always play one of his songs on every set that I do. Lately, we've been playing Brazilian Love Affair because George went to Brazil. God, we went there so much. And, I mean, I had to drag him out of those restaurants. He loved that red beans and rice. He's on the plane talking about it. Man, Stanley, I can't wait, man. Red beans and rice is about 5 hours away. Okay, George, okay. You know, he was something. He was like, it's funny. He did so much that he did as a musician. I remember a really interesting thing when we were at the memorial. I hope Jeffrey Osborne doesn't mind me saying this, but I remember we were standing there. And sometimes, you know, when a guy like George Duke leaves, you know, you know, like the passing, but then you realize all the stuff that he does, how it affects each other's lives. So Jeffrey says, what the hell am I going to do now? You know, and I said, what am I going to do now? You know what I mean? Because we had a very serious thing, and George produced so many people. There's not another guy like that, and I doubt that there ever will be. You know, George is a very, very, very special and unique musician, and more than that, a person. You know, he was a kind of guy, when you went to his house, you walked into the house, and whatever residue of the day was with you, when by the time you left, you were laughing, and, you know, he was like a Buddha. He was like a brown Buddha. You know, he was really just a guy with a lot of heart. It was amazing.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of good reasons that you guys were friends. And, you know, as I hear you describing him, you know, I think of a lot of those things about you, too. So much talent, so much heart, a really good friend. And, you know, just a cool guy, man, who has never changed over all these years. I think when we first met, it had to be like, I want to say in the 70s.
Yeah, it was early.
When I was at WRVR.
Yeah, RVR, that's right.
Yeah. So, you know, we've come a long way, and I got to tell you, Stanley, I'm just still thrilled by everything that you do and so happy for your success in every aspect of the business. And I'm going to watch this Halston film, and I will be listening to the music, too.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. And you've been a great friend to all the musicians. I always tell when people say, hey, you're, you know, the DJ, that's the musician's DJ, and that's you. You've always been there for us, and I want to personally thank you on behalf of all the musicians out there. You've really, like, you know, held up your end of just promoting our music and propelling it through time, you know, so it's, you know, well displayed for the next generations. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Well, I tell you, Stanley, that means the world to me, especially coming from you. And we hope that everyone is going to check out the new album, the soundtrack to the film Halston. It is available on DVD and on Amazon. And you have another CD that's out there now, don't you?
Yeah, let's see. I have so many CDs and so many things.
So many CDs, so little time.
Yeah, but I've been focusing on this Halston thing, but I'm starting to work on another one now too. It's you know, it's nice. I've been doing a lot of things. I'm planning this next period to go around with the orchestras and play the music to the first three John Singleton movies.
I can't wait to see that. That sounds like a Hollywood Bowl to me.
Yeah, we're working on that, and we're going to get that together, and it's going to be fantastic.
I love it. Stanley, thank you so much for the music. Thanks for keeping it going, and promise me that when the new project is done, you'll come and we'll hang out and talk about that, too.
Okay. All right, Pat.
Thank you so much. Stanley Clark joining us today. Check out his latest release, the soundtrack to the motion picture Halston. It is available on DVD and on Amazon as well. Have a great rest of your day, all right?
Thanks so much. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here. Only
at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.